Motivation. What's up, you guys? It's Senpai back with another episode of the Med Motivation Podcast. This is episode 3, and as promised, I'm going to talk about different types of SRS. That means spaced repetition software. In the previous episode, we talked a lot about the physiology of learning and the importance of spaced repetition. So if you don't already know what spaced repetition is, I suggest you check out the previous episode. And in this, we are gonna go through some different types of spaced repetition software and kind of rate them and figure out what's best. So as I said, these software, they have a spaced repetition algorithm built into them. So most of these are functioning as flashcard software. So if you have already done flashcards in real life, it's basically a card with the question in the front and the answer in the back. So when you look at the front of the card and you see the question, you have to recall the answer by yourself, actively recall it. And then when you flip on the other side, you have the answer and you verify if it's right. And if it's wrong, then it goes to another place where you have to check it again in a lesser interval. So you have to check it again with a smaller time interval in between the cards. But if you were doing it in real life, it'll be very difficult. As I said, the lightness box is one method of doing it, but actually implementing it in real life is so much more difficult than you'd think. So several people have come forward to embed this theory in software and make spaced repetition softwares. So in the last episode, I was wondering why this method is not yet implemented in the general education that we all go through, like in our university education and school education. I feel like it would be so much easier for us to learn if we all did this. But it looks like it's not going to happen anytime soon. And I think the reason is it's easier said than done. Like, spaced repetition is, in my opinion, the best way to memorize things and the best way to get things into your head. But actually doing it properly is a much more difficult task. I found a list of software that technically count as either SRS, spaced repetition software, or flashcard software. And each of these have their ups and downs. But the most difficult task in spaced repetition software is it's made with the assumption that you do your cards every day. So when you do a card and then it gets rescheduled to another day according to the time interval that's set according to the spaced repetition algorithm. So let's say you think of it as in real life, you have a flashcard and you turn over and you realize it's that it was difficult, it was not the answer that you thought of or that you recalled. Then you have to communicate that to the software and say, okay, this card was hard, difficult for me. And then the software decides in which time interval to show you the card again. So it'll decide, okay, I'm going to show you this card again in one day. That means tomorrow, because you got it wrong. And if I get it right, then the software decides, okay, I'm going to show you this card in 4 days. So, and then it assumes that you're going to do your flashcards tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and 2 days after tomorrow, and so on. So you have to do it every day in order for this spaced repetition algorithm to work properly, because there's a set of cards that's assigned for you to do that's being rescheduled for every day of the week. And let's go one by one in alphabetical order. So the first thing that comes up, and if you've been keeping up with my YouTube channel, you already know that I'm a big proponent of Anki. Anki is what I have been using mostly and is my personal choice. So Anki is a spaced repetition software, and it is also a flashcard software. And this is actually available on Android, on iOS, across all the most commonly used operating systems. So Anki is available on Windows, so you can use this in multiple devices, and it can be synced across platforms. So let's say you do your cards on the computer and then you have to go somewhere, and on the way you can do on the metro, you can do your cards on your phone or on your tab. And that feature is pretty useful in my opinion, because you have to incorporate this into your daily life. It has to become a habit, and you have to be able to do this on the go. And we have to talk about the pricing as well. So as we know, not all softwares on the internet are available for free, especially if it has a service part of it. If it's just a software that you have to download and use on your computer locally, then it's relatively easy if you know where to look for. You can find the software for free, although I do not advise that you do that. But with Anki, you don't have to go through all those hoops, and you don't have to pay for anything It's completely free except for iOS, for iPhones. You have to buy the app and it's around $5 if I remember correctly. Let me look that up real quick. Yeah, it's $25 on iOS and that's a one-time purchase, and after that you can use it for a lifetime. And knowing how useful Anki is, and if you're gonna do it properly, the $25 price tag is actually very much worth it in my opinion. And having the app, being able to do Anki on the go, would be worth that money compared to the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that you all pay for tuition fees for your colleges. The $25 price tag for Anki is very reasonable in my opinion. Yeah, there's a lot of technical details in this, like what kind of language they use. So basically when you make flashcards, the flashcards are made in HTML and LaTeX. So if you are designing your own flashcards and you want to learn, if you want to make customized flashcards which are very sophisticated, then that would be important for you. So those are the pros of Anki. Let's move on to the cons. Anki is actually a very difficult software to learn. The user interface sort of looks like something you see in an advanced software, like an advanced professional software like Photoshop or Premiere Pro. It's not pretty for the eye when you suddenly look at it. Looks like something professional and there's a lot of settings everywhere, and it's not that easy for a person to learn it at first. Because of this, a lot of people might be discouraged to even start using Anki in the first place. But there are tons of video tutorials on YouTube and on other platforms, and they have a very comprehensive and understandable and complete user manual for Anki issued by the software. And there are lots of other users of Anki who are Anki enthusiasts just like me on YouTube, basically explaining anything and everything you need to know about Anki. One YouTube channel that I recommend, who is like the authority when it comes to Anki, is called Anking, a YouTube channel that explains everything you need to know about Anki from the basics, and it's all available for free on YouTube. And another con is that if you are learning a subject, you need to have the flashcards. So Anki doesn't issue the flashcards for you. You have to make your own flashcards. But there are other third-party users who have made their own flashcards and uploaded them to the website. So you can search their directory and find flashcards that other people have made, and you can download them, customize it to your own liking and use them. But a lot of people say if you are using Anki properly, the best way to learn is if you make your own flashcards. I have been making my own flashcards for a while, and making your own flashcards, it's also, there's a lot to learn in that. And if you want to make highly customized cards, you need to learn a little bit of HTML. So there's plenty of web resources for this as well. I've learned everything about Anki online. There's a website called W3 Schools that teaches you the basic HTML. And there's a lot of things that you can do to customize your cards with that. But that's only if you want to get into the technical aspects of it. But it's not necessary that you learn HTML at all. You can do a lot of things with the UI itself. And another notable feature of Anki is that it has plugins. And a lot of people, like when you download Anki in the beginning, the stock app is actually not pretty, not presentable at all. If you look at it, it looks very ugly and blank. And honestly, starting out Anki without anyone telling you how to get into it is pretty difficult. And that's one of the main reasons why Anki and other flashcard software in general are not used as widely as it should be. But once you get the right add-ons are basically like if you get a phone without any apps, the things that you can do with the phone are pretty much very limited. But then you have the App Store. You can go to the App Store and download whatever the app you want, which lets you do so many things. Like, the sky is the limit. If your imagination allows it, it's there on the App Store and you can download it. So similarly, there are plugins for Anki that you can use. For example, there's a plugin that you can use to turn your flashcards into printable format. And there are add-ons to customize your background. There are add-ons to edit your cards in certain ways. There's an add-on called Image Occlusion Enhanced that allows you to occlude certain parts of an image. So for example, if you're making a flashcard out of a label diagram, you can occlude the labels and then make them reveal one by one, sort of making a flashcard out of a diagram. So if you learn how to use it, which is pretty easy with the YouTube tutorials, Anki can be an immensely useful tool for your education. And the second best in my list is this software called Brainscape. And this is also a spaced repetition software. It has a spaced repetition algorithm. And it is also a flashcard software. And this is also available for free. You can download it for free. But one downside in this is that you can only make two-sided flashcards. So in Anki, it allows you to make different types of flashcards. So you can even make your own node type. So the basic types are, the ones that I use are the front and back cards. And that means the card has a specified front and a back. And then you have the front and back reversible cards. So for example, a front and back card would have a question in front, like, what is the powerhouse of the cell? And when you turn on the other side, you have the answer, mitochondria. But if you take a reversible front and back card, backside can also be used as the front. So in one side, you'd have blank is the powerhouse of the cell. And then the other side, you have mitochondria blank. So when you see the mitochondria side, you see mitochondria blank, and you have to fill in the blank, and that's the powerhouse of the cell. When you turn it on the other side, you have blank is the powerhouse of the cell. So the answer is there, and you can use it either way. But those are both two-sided cards. But then there are multiple-sided cards, which I can't really explain in a physical format, but it has this is done through closed deletions. So you can create multiple blanks from one card, from one note. So basically you have, let's say for an example, you have mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. So you can occlude two parts of that sentence. Mitochondria can be turned into a closed deletion, and powerhouse can also be turned into a closed deletion. So in one card, it'll show blank is the powerhouse of the cell. And in the other card, it will show mitochondria is the blank of the cell. So you have to fill in the blank and recall the correct word that fits in there. And that's another type of note that you can make with Anki. And making one note can allow you to create multiple cards from one note. So another thing about Brainscape, the difference between Anki and Brainscape is more expensive for the premium version. It's $80 for the lifetime membership. In Anki, there is no specific premium version. It's the basic version. It's the version that everyone gets, and it's for free. And almost 99% of the add-ons that you get for Anki are also free. And there are certain add-ons that they have come up recently, some add-ons that they issue for a price. But those are only very vague, useless, as in very for very specific features that probably more advanced Anki users who are trying to make cards for other people are trying to use. But for a basic user, for anyone who's trying to study with Anki, those add-ons are not necessary. But Brainscape, it's $80 for a lifetime membership, which is not worth it, given the fact that Brainscape has a five choice spaced repetition confidence system. So basically it gives you five choices. When you do a card, it gives you five choices, like easy, medium, hard, like that. So if it's easy, it shows you the card in another 1 month maybe. So like that, it gives you five choices and that's all you have. But in Anki, you have an adaptive spaced repetition system. So let's say this is the third time you are doing the card, and then the easy button will show you that the card will be shown again in another 5 months, like that. Like the more that you have done the card, the interval increases. And that spaced repetition, adaptive spaced repetition system is not something you get in Brainscape. And another thing is the modern interface. Brainscape actually has a better modern interface, and you can study multiple cards, multiple decks at once. But the mobile app for Brainscape doesn't allow you to edit cards on the mobile app. But in Anki, you can do all of that on the mobile app as well. The Android app, actually it's called AnkiDroid, has a lot of features that you can access from the desktop app as well. But You can even make new cards from your mobile app. But if you're making, for it to be efficient enough to be compatible with your rate of studying, usually doing it on the desktop is the most efficient way of doing it and making sure you do it correctly. But if you are on the go and you want to make a new card, for example, you are watching something on your phone and you come across a new word that you want to learn, that you want to memorize, then you can quickly make a card from your phone. And that feature is very useful. So those features are not there in the BrainScape mobile app. And with Anki for the free desktop app and free AnkiDroid app and the $25 iPhone app, it's much more worth it than BrainScape. And the browsing features and the user interface of the card when you make cards, sometimes in BrainScape, the images are not aligned and fitting into the card properly, especially on the mobile app. And those features, those bugs are actually much more much less prevalent in Anki, since it's an open source software and there are a lot of developers who are volunteering and involved in figuring out those bugs, especially when it comes to interference with different add-ons. But if anybody is ever choosing BrainScape over Anki, it's because of the user interface, which looks outdated and too much to process at a glance. And given the price difference, Anki is way better in value. To me, in a learning perspective, that adaptive spaced repetition algorithm is what matters most. And for that reason, I think Anki comes as the winner in that one as well. And there are other notable flashcard software as well. One of the more popular ones is called Duolingo. So if you are a user of Twitter, you'd know that Duolingo is pretty famous for their brutality in getting you to do your cards daily. Duolingo is a software that allows you to learn a new language. But there's another one called Duolingo Tiny Cards, which is now discontinued. So that was also a flashcard software, which is also a spaced repetition software. I wonder why they discontinued it, but that would have been useful too. Anki is also used a lot for learning languages. There are already a lot of pre-made cards that are available that other people have made that you can download and use. But I think especially if you're learning a language, both are important. You have to be, you can download the pre-made cards and also make your own cards. For example, if I'm learning Japanese, and let's say I'm watching an anime and then I come across a new word, or like, oh, and then I realize the meaning of this, or I want to know the meaning of this word, and then I type and I search it on Google or whatever and find the meaning of that word. Now that I've learned it, I want to make an Anki card for that word so that I'll be able to refer it in the future and get it into my permanent memory and remember it, because it's really difficult. The best way to learn a language is to use it, but when you're starting out, you don't have enough vocabulary to use it. And especially say I'm learning Japanese, there's no one around me so much. Like if I'm self-learning, not going to a class or anywhere, it's difficult to learn it alone without speaking it to another person. So, and at first you don't have enough vocabulary to construct a complete sentence either. So at this point, you still have to be able to kind of refer to those words and expose yourself to that in a continuous manner, and these flashcards will allow you to keep that in your memory once you've learned a word. And I use the same principle when I'm doing papers. So for example, I use the pre-made cards to learn a new content, and then I usually do the past papers for the particular exam that I'm studying for, to familiarize myself with the type of questions that I'm going to get. And when I do those, I come across certain points that weren't mentioned in the flashcards that I did. So I haven't learned this yet. So when I come across something new that wasn't in my flashcard set, then I can make my own flashcard for that and add it to my deck of cards. So similarly, it can be used for languages pretty well. And there are other flashcard software if you really want to know, like Sirigo, Kobo Cards, Course Hero, Fresh Memory. Another one that's really popular in the US, it's called Quizlet. And this is actually This is not a spaced repetition software, but it's just a flashcard software. But the app is freely available, and what makes this stand out more is that the user interface in this is very user-friendly and very desirable to look at. And a lot of people tend to choose this. A lot of people who are getting into flashcards at first tend to choose Quizlet over Anki because it's so much easier to use. But the actual usability of like how much it can contribute to your studies is kind of limited because it's not a spaced repetition software. So I guess you'd have to use your own scheduling. Maybe put reminders for each and every card that you do. Okay, I have to do this card in another 4 days and so on. It doesn't have a spaced repetition algorithm built into it. So it doesn't count as an SRS, a spaced repetition software. I wish it was. It's kind of very, it has so many other types of learning, other types of learning tools other than flashcards. But without spaced repetition, there's not so much that you can do with it. And they have a variety of pre-made decks for a lot of subjects, a lot of learning material that you can download. And some of them, a lot of them are paid. And you have to pay and get those cards or those questions and do them. And there is a website which allows you to convert your Quizlet flashcards into Anki flashcards. So if you find a really good flashcard deck that's available on Quizlet, then you can download that and convert it to an Anki deck and use it in Anki with spaced repetition. So my recommendation is if you really want to get into spaced repetition software, I suggest that you download some of these. I recommend that you try out Brainscape, Anki and Quizlet and choose what's best for you. But I recommend that you choose something that has spaced repetition software. So I will leave a list of all the flashcard software, all the spaced repetition software that you can try out. Out of these, the one that is best, in my opinion, and a lot of people who do Anki, especially in medical school, is Anki. The first time I discovered Anki was also in something related to medicine. So when I first got my admission to medical school, I got very excited and I was using Reddit at the time a lot. And then I searched Reddit communities that are related to medicine. So there is a Reddit community called r/medicalschool. And another one, and then right after that, right below that, shows up r/medicalschoolanki. And at the time, I didn't know what Anki was, but for some reason, I ended up joining that as well. And then through that, content that's posted on the Anki subreddit appeared on my feed. And then that's how I first got exposed to Anki. And I'm so glad for it. And turns out there's a lot of people in medical school using Anki. So the main user community of Anki exists on Reddit. So if you have any question regarding Anki, or if you are looking for any solution, if you want to discuss anything related to Anki, you can head over to Reddit, r/Anki or r/medicalschoolanki. And there's a very large community. In fact, the r/medicalschoolanki subreddit is bigger than the r/Anki subreddit. People using the medical school Anki subreddit, there's a bigger community there. So if you really want to get into Anki, I suggest you check out this subreddit as well, and also the YouTube channel that I mentioned called Anking. And I have several tutorial videos on Anki on my YouTube channel as well, Senpa Simplified. And I'm planning to make more YouTube tutorials on this on these topics as well. I have tried to get a lot of my friends into using Anki because I'm such a big believer of how useful it can be to our course to learn everything in a sustainable manner. But the problem a lot of people have with Anki is first starting out. And I want to help with that, because once you get through this initial barrier, after that, the benefits will come, definitely. And in Anki, it has certain plugins that allow you to kind of gamify your learning process. It turns your learning, like, it turns studying into a game. And that's Like one of the most amazing features of Anki is that it has leaderboards. You can see how many cards your friends did every day, and it has a ranking and it has streaks. That's the most important part in my opinion, because the key thing that you need to do is you have to do cards every day, right? So for this, they have the streaks, and the longest streak I've had ever is 276 day streak. So I did Anki cards without missing a day for 276 days straight. After that, I had, I think it was after an exam or during an exam, I broke my streak, and then I soon recovered again. But during that time, there was a time when I religiously did Anki. And after that, when I got closer to the exam, I had to move on to doing more past papers. But during that, like what I learned during that time when I did flashcards properly, that information stayed with me for a much longer time than the things that I learned just by reading material. Those things that I learned with Anki are still there in my head, and that's what's amazing about Anki. I've experienced this firsthand. Anki is the best way. Anki is the way to remember what you've learned forever. And it's important, especially for medical students and doctors. Once you learn something, you're going to be using that. It's not just for an exam. You're not going to, like, the goal is not to just pass the exam. You're going to use this in your practice to save people's lives and to make people's lives better. So you need to learn this for a lifetime. The best way to do that is to use Anki. And that's it for today's podcast, guys. Make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, Senpai Simplified, and sign up to my emailing list. I will email you the new episodes every time a new episode comes out. And check out my socials. I will leave a link in the description. And also another reminder, check out my website, senpaisimplified.net. I have all the topics for preclinical medicine, anatomy, biochemistry, and physiology. And I'm covering them one by one, each topic. You can read about all the material that you need. And there are quizzes underneath them. And also, I have my Medicine Simplified Anki deck, which is also available on the website, senpaisimplified.net. And if you want to learn medicine through Anki for preclinical subjects, I have this Anki deck that I have made with everything you need to know. And it's linked to my website. So every time you come across a topic that you want to read more, it's linked to my website, so when you come across a card, you can go, you can click read more, and then it takes you to the website, and then you can read more on that subject, where you'll have videos, infographics, and quizzes for your particular topic that you want to learn more about. Thank you for listening in. Senpai out.
About bacteria and the fungus. Write the exam with the bullseye. From Mumbai to Shanghai. Yeah, that's my gang, I call them Kohan. Stack that paper like a samurai. Read them books like a lullaby. Study with different types of stimuli. Seriously, stop watching hentai. My name is Kenzo. Yeah. Playing Atari on my PS4. Now I don't play games anymore. That was long, long time ago. Now I just make people dance on the floor. My music makes people get hot. That's why they call me the senpai. Their life sucks, we all just getting by. Fight through it, bitch, don't cry. That's it, I'm done. Let me just goodbye.